The cost of running that application would have run into the many tens of thousands of dollars.
Just to actually decide whether it is binding or not?
Correct.
Right, okay.
Many tens of thousands of dollars. It would have involved numerous lawyers. It would have involved numerous witnesses and, of course, then a hearing. When you do a will, make a will, and for all intents and purposes, if it ticks all the right boxes, then the process of getting a grant of probate is relatively inexpensive. A grant of probate is an order from the court that that will is the last valid will.
Yep.
But in that circumstance, it cost a mozza in legal fees. It also cost in terms of the damaged relationships and the stress involved in all of the parties. Now, how did that happen? Many years ago, our legislation was very clear and specific. It said if you did not tick all of these boxes and you did not follow this process absolutely 100%, then the will is not a will. And what we discovered with that is small oversights led to injustices. So the legislators, in their wisdom, decided that they would make an amendment to the Succession Act. And that amendment was Section 18, which is what this application was run under, is that if a person doesn't tick all of the legal compliance requirements, the door remains open for an application to be made to see whether or not they intended those documents to be their last valid will and testament.
Right.
Yes, so that's what we refer to as the informal will provisions. Now, there have been a number of informal will provisions. Before that one, there was one recently where a young man wrote his will up on his computer. His de facto wife had the foresight to say to him, but before you go on that ride on that motorbike, I want you to do a will. The evidence before the court was he said that he was too lazy to do that. And he went and typed one out on his computer and he went and had a ride on the motorbike. Sadly, he had an accident and he didn't die in that accident, but a year later he did. And that particular document that he typed up on the computer, they had to make that very, very, very expensive application to the court to see whether or not that document was intended to be his last will and testament. The difficulty with that is, of course, was that in that time he was still married to his former wife. He had a child with his former wife, and between the intervening fact of the accident and his death, he had a child to his new de facto wife. So the will, notwithstanding that that document got through as a will, it still didn't address a number of issues that would have needed to be addressed in estate planning.
Fair enough. So it may stand up, but I guess these are the details that are left out of media reporting of these sort of things. You know, the will on the post-it notes costs a lot of money to actually prove that it is what it purports to
be. That's exactly right. And it puts the families through an inordinate amount of stress and tension. And it's unnecessary. You know, a wise practitioner once said to me that this is not about you, it's about the relationships that you leave behind.
Fair
and
point.
It's about managing that.
Absolutely. And easing that burden. I mean, you know, that American expression of closure, I suppose, which always sounds very American. American, that's right. It's the only word we can come up with. But this would prevent that. If this goes on for years, you're not really putting this death and behind you and readjusting when you're still combing over legal details and it seems so dirty and messy, but it can go on for years. And that's no way to treat loved ones, is it?
It can. And one of the other things too is that, you know, this is hard thinking. This is confronting thinking. And most of us, myself included, you sit there and you go, oh, that's too hard. Another day.
Yeah.
I'll deal with that another day. I think we need to have these discussions, and it's great that you're having this discussion because we need to be more comfortable about it. We need to be more aware of it so that we just automatically do it. I don't like doing my tax every year, but we know we've got to do it, so we just swallow that pill and we go and do it. And I think doing a will is about that, about reviewing your affairs annually. You don't necessarily have to do a new will, but you should review your affairs because, for example, if you're a young family and you're about to have your first child, you'll run off and this happens frequently, the couple will make a will for their newborn, they'll put it in the cupboard, and next thing you know, they've got three more children that they... And the circumstances have changed. Or your financial affairs might change. You might be married, and a lot of people may not be aware that marriage can revoke a will, and to the extent that it applies to other people, and divorce revokes a will.
Of course.
And entry into and exiting out of de facto relationships. You've got all of these issues that you need to think about. And it's important. So if listeners have a takeaway point there is that if you have a significant event in your life, it's likely to affect your will. So